Now, while you're standing, turn with me to Psalm 51. Thank you, psalmist. God bless you guys. Awesome job today. Psalm 51. We're going to stand to honor the reading of God's Word today. This is a fifth Sunday of the month, and so we're honored to have our boys and girls in here with us today from Kids Church. Boys and girls, we are so glad you are with us. We encourage you to listen as best you can and dive in. And I just want to remind all of our children and all the adults, there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. I've seen children filled with the Holy Spirit very young, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. I've seen 5-year-olds slain in the Holy Spirit for laying an hour on the floor. Power of God hit them. There's no such thing as too young. Of course, if we want to go back to the Bible, which is always a good place to end up and to start for that matter, John the Baptist was baptized in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. So we need to stop, not that we do this, but let's stop putting children in the category of they're not ready for that yet. There's no such thing as not ready. We're always ready for more of Jesus. He created us. He designed us. There's no such thing as not being ready. I've had people, you know, lead someone to the Lord, and it's like, well, they just got saved. They're not ready for the Holy Spirit stuff. I'm like, wait. They can't even get saved without the Holy Spirit. You're absolutely ready for all the fullness of God. Amen. We all are. Amen. As soon as we connect, God, I'm telling you, God is ready just to pour into us. So I say all that to say, I want to ask that everyone remain seated today. I'd like to ask nobody get up and move unless it's just an absolute emergency, because we don't want to be distracted. We want to stay on point here and stay on focus. I have a word that the Lord has given me this week that I want to share with you. So we're going to jump into it. We're going to start in Psalm 51, and we're going to start at verse 7. How many are there? Say, oh, yeah. Let me see your Bible. What you got? Hold it up. You got paper or you got electric? Let's see. You don't need to tell me. My eyes don't lie. I can see it. People say, electric. No, you don't say. Okay. Hold them up again. I didn't see them all. You got electric or, okay, paper. Okay, we have a good mix of paper and, amen. I'm still waiting for the person to invent the app that when you turn your page and your electronic device, you hear the crinkling of paper. I think that would just be brilliant. Someone just needs a housewarming, maybe you could develop that. I would buy that app. I would support that. So when you're on your electronic device and you're turning your Bible page, it would go, you know, make that little sound. Here we go. Psalm 51. I want to talk to you today about maintaining the right spirit. This is something the Lord laid on my heart this week, and I'm going to read a couple of passages. We're going to jump off from Psalm 51. But David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. You wonder what that's about. He's under heavy conviction for what he's done. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Everyone say, right spirit. This is one of the great challenges of living for Jesus in our day and time, and any day and time, really, but maintaining a right spirit. Cast me not from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the power of your word. And as we prayed, God, may we become your word in Jesus' name. May we live out our full potential, Father, in who you have created us to be. In the magnificent name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everyone said amen. I want to share here a couple of other scriptures because I think it's important in this whole idea of understanding what it means to have a right spirit. David, we just read, prayed for God to renew a right, or some of your translations may say steadfast or reliable spirit in him. Proverbs 25:28, it says, he who hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. A city that is broken down and without walls is open for attack. It's vulnerable to the enemy. It's easily destroyed. Scripture tells us that if we do not accept responsibility for keeping our spirit right, we equally become open for attack. And I want to tell you that the enemy of your soul wants to fill you with lies, wrong perception, negativity. He wants to cause division in the body of Christ, and he actively works to seek to see that happen. Let me say that again. The devil wants to fill you with wrong perception, misconceptions, with lies, wrong perception, all of that. He wants to cause division in the body of Christ. And the enemy of your soul actively works for this to take place. He not only wants to damage you, he would like to bring you down like we saw happen with King David. I'll go more into that in just a moment. But he wants to cause problems within the body of Christ. And so it is incumbent upon you and I to make sure that we have the right spirit at all times. We have to protect our heart. We have to protect our mind. We have to protect the attitudes that we have and make sure they are reflecting Jesus Christ in everyday life. This is a super practical living for Jesus message today. Judas gives us another example of operating in the wrong spirit. And you don't have to turn to this. We have it on the screen. But in John chapter 12, verse 4 to 8, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to keep himself to what, I'm sorry, he used to help himself to what was put in it. And Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." So a wrong spirit is a spirit that becomes critical, fault-finding, usually because there is some deep unseated happiness or unhappiness, and it affects your perspective, and it ultimately it affects your potential in the Lord also. Judas, one of the 12, he had issues. So he became, we just read it, critical of Jesus. Critical of this woman. This is the story, if you probably recognize, of the woman breaks the alabaster box and she's pouring this expensive cologne over Jesus' feet, and she's weeping and washing his feet with her hair and her tears, and that wonderful story of somebody who just gave something very expensive to Jesus, and everybody in the room, you know, had their take on it. And here is Judas. He's the one becomes critical of what he is seeing, which can also show you people can become critical and negative and have the wrong spirit in the middle of revival, in the middle of God doing something great. There are people sitting there with a critical spirit. This is why it is no guarantee. I have been in many, and historically, a lot of great hot atmospheres of the presence of God. I have sat in churches in full-blown revival, from revival in Toronto to down in Pensacola, Florida, to Fresh Start Church in Arizona. And I want to tell you, within those bodies, it is possible, they've even talked about it, for people to develop the wrong spirit. And you sit back and there's something not right inside. There's something off. And suddenly you become critical of a friend. You become critical of the pastor. You become critical of a leader. You become critical of your boss. You become critical. I could just fill in the blank. There's this critical spirit. Nothing is right. Nothing they say is right. Nothing they do. All their little things annoy you. That is not a them problem. That becomes an us problem. It means we're operating with the wrong spirit. Now, this applies in a 360-degree direction. It could be your spouse, your boss, your friend, the leader. Can't get anything right in your mind. And you find yourself in a critical, negative, and you find yourself developing an attitude. And therefore, you have developed what we would call a wrong spirit. And I want to tell you, things aren't always going to go how we want them to go. And therefore, how we respond matters. Are you hearing me this morning? How we respond to the junk in life tells a lot about who you are and who I am inside. Because it's easy to act good and to act happy, to be full of joy and everything going great. Everything's going wonderful. I got a pay raise at work, Pastor. Oh, I got, you know, a great day ahead. Things are going my way. Things are just breaking in my direction. It's easy to rejoice in those moments. But how about when nothing else is working in your life? You and I are responsible to have a right spirit through all of those issues and situations. A right spirit. And if you've been hit by a poison dart and you recognize, you know, I have a bad spirit. I've become critical, negative. Nothing is right. Everything stinks. I don't like the carpet. I don't like the paint. I don't like everything just becomes critical, and you find yourself, I'm complaining and I'm whining so much. You got to ask yourself, how do I recapture the right spirit? Now we learn a couple things here from King David. You all are well aware of his prayer here in Psalm 51. This was written in response to the fact that he had just committed a grievous sin. And it's interesting to see how this unplays. The Bible tells us that David, he had this relationship, if you can call it that, with Bathsheba. The Bible tells us that David was on the roof of his palace in the spring when kings normally went to war. So David was in the wrong place, wasn't doing what he should have been doing, and wasn't thinking the thoughts that he should have been thinking, and this led him to his sin. And what is, it's heartbreaking in this story. I don't know that he wasn't just prepared to gloss it over. Because the Bible tells us that a prophet named Nathanael came and talked to him, Nathan. And Nathan still had a voice with the king. But I want to tell you, to differ with an ancient Near East king was dangerous for your head being connected to your body. If you angered an ancient Near East king, you might likely find your head disattached from your body. So for Nathan to come to him and to bring him this word, it took a lot of guts. And I want to tell you, sometimes the prophetic words, the sermons that are prophetic, that irritate and annoy you, are the very ones you need to fall on your face and say, why am I irritated by this? There must be something that God is trying to stir in me. God is trying to wake me up. God is trying to move me to do something very important called repentance. Nathan told him a story, right? There was a man who had vast wealth. He had many flocks. And he looked to this one poor man and he saw one little lamb that he had. And he said, I need that. I'm going to take that lamb and add that to my collection. And so he stole the lamb from the owner and he had the owner killed. King David, what do you think of that? And King David looked at Nathan and said, that man must die. And Nathan, with only the power of the Holy Spirit, said, David, you are that man. The Bible says David went into a time of repentance. That's when he wrote Psalm 51. Egregious sin. We often look at this as, oh, they had an affair. No, when you're the king, that's something worse. Bathsheba wasn't willing. Let me just go ahead and say that. I don't believe Bathsheba, that she had a great husband. That there wasn't a willingness there. That was a forced situation. You can deduce what David actually did to her. It was bad. She had no choice. The king wants something. You gave in or you would die. And yet here we see David and he's trying to reconstruct what happened. And under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he's crying out to God to forgive him. He's crying out to God to wash him. And he says this powerful word, God, create a right spirit inside of me. What had happened to him is when he got off track is he allowed the wrong spirit to stay active inside of him. Again, wasn't where he was supposed to be. Kings were at war. He wasn't where he was. He was on the roof of his palace watching a woman. He wasn't thinking the thoughts he should have been thinking. Because he's like, oh, I need to. When he already had wife. He had gotten a wrong spirit. And I want to tell you, the devil wants to use your wrong spirit to destroy you. If you think a negative attitude is going to hunt very long, as the old timers would say, that those dogs don't hunt. You're going to have issues. They're going to have sin problems. You're going to feel distant. You'll feel distant from your spouse. You'll feel distant from your church. You'll feel disconnected from your godly friends. I want to tell you, when people disassociate, when people want to become aloof and go off alone, oftentimes, not always, but a lot of times, they've got a wrong spirit. Don't talk to me. Stay away. Wrong spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's a wrong spirit. We have to make sure, friends, that we guard our hearts. Are y'all with me? We have got to guard our hearts. Because we live in a time, and I know this sounds like Monday morning thinking, and I don't mean it for it to, but we live in a day and age where people become offended so easy. Ridiculously so. Because we're in a culture that's like planet me. All about me. Let's everything be customized to me. It's all about what I want, right? We got to remember that is not, hear me, that is not kingdom thinking. That is deadly flesh thinking. I'm getting shouted down with all kinds of amens today, but I'm preaching God's word today. That's all I know. We have got to die to ourselves. And I would add, daily. 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 We die to the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do I recapture a right spirit? Number one, are you ready? We've got to ask God for help. Sounds simple? Sounds rote? It is. It's very simple. And when we ask God for help, what do we have to do immediately? Let's repent of being negative. Let's repent of critical. Let's repent. We have to do like David. We have to say, God, I have just blown it. I've had these thoughts. I've had these attitudes. And God, I ask that you would wash them out of me in the name of Jesus. God, I want to die to myself and I want to be renewed. So Jesus, I ask, you ever prayed this before? God, give me a right spirit. Three people? Well, I have. I all the time. God, give me a right spirit. Give me a right spirit. Why? Because it's easy to get a wrong spirit. Y'all looking at me like you're all like, you know, super sanctified saints, and I pray you are, but I want to tell you, you will struggle with having a right spirit. If you're not, then you're not being honest. David was oblivious of his sin until he was called on it. The conviction of the Holy Spirit hit him and he just began to cry out to God. He wrote Psalm 51. And I want to tell you, my friends, it's important that we understand if we want to keep our spirit right, if we want to keep our attitudes correct, we have to stay surrendered to Jesus Christ. Because when we start trying to think it out for ourselves, we come to bad conclusions. In the counseling world, when people come in and they're in a mess, they're in a kettle of fish, as they would say, I've heard counselors say, well, your best thinking got you into this mess. Your best thinking is not going to get you out of it. That's why we need to call upon God to heal our mind, to heal our spirit, repent of the bad attitudes, repent of being critical, repent of being negative, repent of everything having to be the way you want it or I want it. We've got to repent of those things. And if we don't, you're going to be lined up for having a bad spirit. A popular response, speaking of our culture today, when something is uncovered, is to do what we call virtue signaling. Ever heard of virtue signaling? Right? Look at how righteous I am. Look at me supporting this, right? Look at me being here with the orphans and look at me giving money to somebody who's poor. Here's my picture and put it on Facebook. Here's me giving something to some poor person on the street. And that's fine. I'm not saying it's wrong to take pictures of stuff like that, but I want us to be careful that we don't conceal issues that we have in here by doing what Judas did in virtue signaling. Because here, somebody was giving radical worship to Jesus, which is way more important than anything else. Is it important to help the poor? Yes. Is it more important than giving radical worship to Jesus? Not even close. I help the poor. You help the poor. We all do that. That's great. We should. Hear me. Is that more important than what we give to Jesus? No, it is not. He's it. And Judas was watching this go down, and all of a sudden, I'm going to take this. In the Bible, of course, this is written after the fact by John, the disciple. After the fact, he's like, Judas was a thief. Judas wasn't interested in giving to the poor. He just wanted to virtue signal. He wanted to look righteous. He wanted to, you know, by criticizing, and you see this in the church world today, there'll be people who criticize their church, they'll criticize their pastor, and they always come up with something that says, it would be so much more spiritual if we do it this way. But meantime, inside, things aren't right. They got raging spiritual warfare on their own, and they're losing the battle, and they want to appear to be righteous and holy in front of everyone else. That is a bad spirit. Covering up something, trying to make oneself look better. This is why we must go to God. First sign, friend. And we all could be honest. I loved our men's breakfast yesterday. We sat at eight brothers. We sat around and we just discussed all kinds of stuff. We solved all the world's problems, I think, pretty much. We worked it all out. If only we were in charge, right, guys? I mean, I'm telling you. I want to tell you, I love the refreshing honesty to hear brothers say things and just, you know, be honest about stuff. And I want to tell you, there is something powerful when we recognize that, you know what? I've said that because I have a bad attitude, I have a wrong spirit, and I want to confess it to Jesus right now. I'm going to shut my stupid phone off, I'm going to turn this stupid TV off, I'm going to shut the noise, and I'm going to get on my face, and I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to ask Him to forgive me for that attitude, I'm going to ask Him to forgive me for a critical spirit, I'm going to ask Him to forgive me for the negativity, and I'm going to get right with Him in my spirit. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit in me. The second way I think is key and important, and David references this in a roundabout way. If you want to keep a right spirit, you have to spend time praying in tongues. For this is why one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit was given. David prayed something interesting in Psalm 51. He said, "Do not cast your Holy Spirit from me." Now, David realized the need for the Holy Spirit connection in our lives. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given occasionally upon people, not within them. In the New Testament, God has put His Holy Spirit inside of believers. So this means we don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit not to leave us. But what this does signal to us is that we should rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in overcoming bad spirits and everything else. David realized, I'm not going to renew my spirit, Lord. That's not going to happen without the help of your Holy Spirit. So please, don't cast your Holy Spirit away from me. David liked that when the Holy Spirit was upon him, okay? New Testament believers, post-Pentecost, you come to Jesus, you get saved, you get full of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. What does that tell you? We have on board power to keep a right spirit, to keep our hearts clean, to keep our attitudes right. Are you with me? Jude 20, it says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit." I want to encourage you, my friends, and I want you to really listen carefully. I am convinced if a believer would pray in tongues for at least 10 or 15 minutes a day, you would live in total victory. I'll stand behind that statement. Someone can try to prove me wrong on it. That'd be great if you want to. I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Spirit inside as we pray in tongues. We pray the perfect prayer. We pray intercessory. We pray the heart of God when we're praying in tongues. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, Jude chapter 1, verse 20, that you build yourself up. Not, that doesn't mean, I see people try to interpret that as, well, you're building yourself up. No. Talking about building up your spirit, man. Building up your strength so you will have a right spirit. He says you do this by praying in the Holy Spirit. Bold tongues originating from the depths of our inner man should erupt out of us whenever we pray. Are you hearing me this morning? Bold tongues erupting out of our spirit as we pray. It should happen frequently. I said this a week or two ago, but this works when you're facing temptation and you're like, oh, what to do? I don't know. I feel like I want to give in. Start praying in tongues. Pray in tongues. It's hard to pray in tongues while you're doing your sin. It's difficult. Really difficult. If I had to put a percentage on it, my prayer time, I'd say spend 80% of your time praying in tongues and 20% of your time in English. You can go a few percentage points up or down either direction, but I believe you need to spend at least 80% of your prayer time praying in tongues. That's how important it is. Come on, y'all. I'm in a Pentecostal church and people looking at me like I have seven heads right now. Do we think tongues is just like a t-shirt that we did that, bought the t-shirt? I run into Pentecostal people that way. They believe, they check all the boxes. I believe all that. Well, do you practice it? Once in a while. Why did you bother? If I go to a man digging a ditch and he's covered head to toe in mud, and man, he's just working, he's digging, and his shovel breaks. You can just stand there and smile. And, well, I believe in shovels. But it sure help him if he had another shovel in his hand. And that's how the Holy Spirit functions inside of us, as we are digging, as we are pressing in for the kingdom, as we are battling darkness, Ephesians 6. I think we preached on that last week. As we are doing all of these things, the Holy Spirit is a gift given to us so we can have victory over all of these things. We ought to have a very intimate, if you're Pentecostal, filled with the Holy Spirit, even if you're not Pentecostal and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you should use your prayer language because it is a powerful weapon to live daily for Jesus Christ, for keeping a right spirit, so you don't have to keep coming back to people. I'm sorry, I have a bad attitude again. Oh, here I am again, my friend. I've done you wrong again. I had another. Okay, how about we, and that's good to do that. I'm not downing that, but I'm saying, how about we spend time daily praying in the Holy Spirit so we never have to get to that point? Hello? If we will walk in the power of the Spirit, this is what I just think is so critical, because David, I've always loved that verse for years, and cast not your Holy Spirit away from me. And this week, I'm just putting it together. Yes, David realized the importance of the Holy Spirit and living right and keeping a right spirit that he just prayed for. And I just thought, man, that's just so powerful for a New Testament believer who has the Holy Spirit on board. This is why we emphasize the baptism in the Holy Spirit in this church. And in millions of other churches. We put the banner up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think if you don't have the baptism, you ought to be up here. I don't understand not having the ability and the gift of speaking in tongues and sitting back like it's some kind of option. There is no other power to walk this world in white but the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no other power to overcome sin except the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. It's what drove my dad into Pentecost. Back in the 1950s, my dad grew up a good Baptist boy, Southern Baptist. He went to the military. 1950, he volunteered for the Korean War. Got his draft notice in the mail the next day. But because he had volunteered, he got to pick his assignment. And on his military base, he noticed something immediately. There was a lot of people who said they were church people, who claimed to know Jesus And they were drinkers. They were foul mouthed. They were visiting prostitutes. They were telling dirty jokes. They were doing all, he said, these, it was shocking to see the people who claimed to know Jesus. They were just as bad as everybody else. Except, you're ahead of me, brother. There's this little group of four or five guys over here in the corner of the barracks. Everyone else talking nasty. Here are these four or five guys. They were reading their Bible, Dylan. They were praying together. They wouldn't have none of that other junk. And my dad, desiring to serve God, he's like, I'm going to leave the Baptist over here and the Presbyterians and all, because they're getting mowed down. I'm not throwing shade on all Presbyterians. I know there's a lot of good godly Presbyterians and good godly Baptists, but I'm just saying his experience, okay? He walks himself over to this little group of guys and said, hey, what's your secret? You're in this atmosphere and you're unfazed by it. And they said, the difference is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They said, why don't you come to church with us Sunday? We'll show you. So my dad went to church, a Pentecostal church, the first time in his life, 20 years old. He walked in and he encountered the glorious power of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it changed his life. Changed his life. And I'm so glad he did. I don't know that I would be here today if it weren't for my dad, who took a stand for Jesus in the military back in 1950 and said, you know, I don't want to go the way of these other guys. They say they know Jesus, but they ain't living for Jesus. They're all going to hell. Everyone knows it. They know it probably. I want to live for God. I know there's got to be more than this, and he encountered it. And I just want to encourage each of you today, if you want to keep a right spirit, and by right spirit, I mean keeping yourself on the right track, keeping yourself pure, making good decisions and godly decisions, you've got to be full of the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean that as a past tense. Oh, yeah, I got filled 30 years ago. No, no. I need you to be active. The Bible's talking about being active in the Holy Spirit. We are praying in the Spirit daily. Romans 8 describes it, I believe, as groans that cannot be uttered. There's groanings in the Holy Spirit that enables us to pray the will of God and to pray the mind of God and to strengthen us. And this is what it's about, my friend. And I want to tell you, it's exciting to announce the world has some 2.4 billion Christians, I am told now, and getting close to 1 billion of those are Pentecostal believers. And that number is growing every day. Pentecost is affecting Catholic believers, Presbyterian believers, Catholic, all you name it, Methodist, but people are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit worldwide. And the people called cessationists, that group is shrinking because they realize there is something real and powerful about this encounter with Jesus that will cause us to walk, as William Booth wrote the song, walk this world in white. Keep a right spirit. Pray in tongues. David, pre-Pentecost, recognized the need for the Holy Spirit to operate. We as post-Pentecostal believers must prioritize praying in tongues. I even had a pastor friend of mine tell me, I thought this was great. He said, before I hire a staff person, during the interview, the first interview, he said, one of the first interview questions I ask a potential staff person, when is the last time you prayed in tongues? He said the answer to that question dictates the rest of the interview. When is the last time you prayed? This is a Pentecostal church. You're signing up to work for a group of people who are Pentecostal, radical, tongue talkers. Tell me, when's the last time you prayed in tongues? You better not hear, oh, it's been a while. It's that important. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spirits, however, principalities, rulers, and dark places. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit. There are evil people around us. Evil. I want to tell you, this world, you feel it. If you don't feel it, then you probably lack the length of time to be able to compare it. There feels like a increase, like Jesus would say, there's an increase of wickedness. It feels that way. I'm not saying this is the last day, but I believe we are in the last times and the last days. But I do believe there is an, just like Jesus said, there's an increase in wickedness. If you can't sense that, you might need to drink some coffee and wake up and get some Holy Ghost adrenaline. If we are going to thrive in these times, not survive, thrive, we must have the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have right attitudes, some of you work with ungodly people all week long and you just feel like you need a shower when you come home. I know I've talked to many of you. You feel like, ugh. How are you going to survive that? Well, you're not only going to survive it, you're going to shine through it because you're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. God's going to use you. You're going to keep your attitude good. Finally, I'm coming in for a landing here. If you want to keep your spirit right, you must know. You ready for this? You must know what the will of God is. How can you please God if you don't know His will? Right? Hello? You see, that answers many questions because, as I mentioned at the beginning, if I've lost perspective, I need to reconnect with God so He can give me the right perspective. If I've started to get lousy perception, I've got to go deeper in the Word of God where His revealed will is written. I love the prophetic. I love prophetic words. But can I just tell you, you don't need one necessarily because you've got a whole book of written revelation written to you right on your laps. You held them up earlier, sometimes electronic, sometimes it's paper. That is the revealed will of God. Some of the people are like, I got to get a word. You got it right here. Read it, apply it, live it. God is revealing Himself to mankind. This is why God intervened in human history a little over 3, 4, 5,000, well, from the beginning of time, but especially 2,000 years ago, to reconnect broken humanity who had the wrong spirit, among other things, and showed them how they can be healed whole. And it's through the full Godhead of Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. We got to know His will. David lost the beat. As the Bible says, again, he was where he shouldn't have been. He wasn't doing what he should have been doing. That was the start of his problems. He didn't know the will of God. He wasn't what he should have been, where he should have been, doing what he should have been. I don't know. I'll be a little transparent here. I don't know how many of you have ever started to develop bad feelings towards someone. I know it's only me. Y'all at the feet of Jesus just studying, and I appreciate that. But let me tell you what a fellow struggler. Start developing bad feelings. Paranoid feelings. Thinking someone's against you. You start building a case mentally. And you feel like it might be time you have to go talk to them or unload on them. And when suddenly the grace of God intervenes and you find out a little more information and it changes everything and you say, thank God I kept my mouth shut. Thank God. I don't know if y'all ever been there before. I can say that with such verve inside because I've been there a few times. Thank God I shut my mouth. And then I go back to my prayer closet. Oh, Jesus, thank you for keeping me from looking like an idiot. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. I know people, and I hate this, people say perception is reality, but that's really not true. Perception can be very flawed. Many times it is. And because someone has a flawed perception, I am not incumbent to have to play along with their delusion, but to help them see the truth and the light. But before I can do that, I got to make sure I'm in the right spirit and I'm in the right mindset and I'm in the right attitude according to the Holy Spirit. Knowing what God's will. And if I would ask each of you, what's God's will for you on this planet? What is God's will for you? If I could put a microphone in front of our three teenagers here, I won't, because they're mortified right now. Their blood pressure just went to 180 over 20. 180 over 20. That wouldn't be good. They got real nervous right there. But I put a mic and says, tell me what you think the will of God is for you. Well, many of you would have, well, I think God's called me to be a bricklayer. I think God's called me to be a teacher. I think God has called me to be, you know, a home engineer, a homemaker. I don't know what's the right term for that. God's called me to stay home and take care of my children. Fabulous. God's called me to be a businessman. God's called me to be a salesman. God's called me to be a hairdresser. God's called me to be a beautician. God's called me to be a doctor. He's called me to be a lawyer. He's called me whatever. Right? Good. And what else? It doesn't end there. Because each of you and I, if we know Christ, He's called us to those different places, but He's called us to be light that shines in the darkness, which means what? I am actually a missionary to my school, where I work, where I study, where I keep an office. And watch, this is cool. The world pays you, and you're using their money to do your job, but they're paying you to be a missionary at your company. How cool is that? Now, how often do we have that perspective? We go into work another day. I hate this place. Boss is an idiot. He's against me. Bad spirit. But I wake up one morning and say, wait a second. There's people going to hell all around me. It's not my pastor's job to reach them, because he can't do it all. Not even close. But we, working together, can reach people, because we're all missionaries. And let me just tell you this. If you know I'm not, okay, then if you're not a missionary, then you're a mission field. If you're not trying to reach people for Christ, that means you need to be reached for Christ. So what is God's will for us? To be missionaries on this planet. We're all called to be evangelists. I don't even give spiritual tests anymore because I hate them, number one. I think they give people excuses to not do what they need to do for the kingdom of God, and I think they really don't tell you much anyway, to be honest with you. Had somebody, some pastor said, hey, pastor, can you tell me what spiritual gift test you give people? I said, you know what, I really don't use them anymore because I think they're kind of lame. If you'll come into relationship with leadership here and we can walk with you for a while, I'll tell you what you are. Your gifting will be obvious. I say, you know what? You are a pastor, or you're an evangelist, or we'll help you identify what you are. But I think we can use those things to keep us from the will of God, and that's to reach lost people, which puts us all squarely on the bubble. I don't mean to stand so long in front of you guys. So I was like, I hope I'm not spitting on you guys. That could be possible. It's not on purpose. If I did, I'm sorry. Okay. I see you wiping your. We're called to reach lost people. Period. I had an encounter with that this week. Our wash machine that we had for 25 years went out. So I had somebody come out to fix it, and I thought, okay, it'll cost a few hundred, but it's worth it because this thing is beast, right? It still has metal parts. There's no belts. There's none of that plastic garbage that they all, you know, not the energy water saver garbage that they sell today where you have like a cup full of water and clothes, you know, 12 feet above it. And I just love the old one. I know, old school, but that's just me. Well, the man came out and he said, dude, transmission's locked up, motor's burn out. I can replace the motor, but that transmission's locked. It's the only thing. And this dude was rooting. He's an old school guy like me. He's rooting for this thing to work. He said, oh, this is the best washer. So we had to put ourselves in a spot where, oh, we got to go get another washer. And that stinks for a lot of reasons, right? Spending the money is like the biggest part. So we go to this big box store. I think we went Wednesday night after prayer. We went over. So let's just jump in there real quick and see that. They had huge selections. Like, oh, wow. But the man working there, had a problem. As I heard my wife asking questions, he was like really talking down to her. And that was really bothering me. And so I immediately just said, I ain't buying from this clown. No way. No way. So I just kind of put my hand in my pocket and just kind of looked at my phone. You know how you just kind of like disconnect and like just walk away. I'm about 10 feet and Julie's still trying to, you know, get information from this guy. And I just said, she said, okay, well, we'll think about it. So we get up Thursday morning. It's like, okay, we got to deal with it. Good laundry building up, right? You go like, you know, 12 hours in our house without laundry and you have like, you know, Mount Everest sitting in the living room. So you got to. Thursday morning, I said, well, let's try this store. So we try all these stores. Nothing. They didn't have what we were looking for. So begrudgingly, I said, well, we can go back to that big box store over there. And Julie's like, no way. Remember, you didn't like the way that guy talked to me. I said, well, I didn't. He talked down to you. It was just wrong. And I said, well, you know what? That was late last night. No way he's working this morning. So I went in, I got there, I beat her there, and I got in, and I walked in. Who do I see? The same dude working there. Y'all knew that was coming. Now they had a couple other salespeople, and of course they were occupied. And so Julie said, she texted me, said, is that guy there? And I said, yes. But I said, we'll just deal with it, all right? We'll just be as nice as we can, buy it, and get out. So I had to talk her into it. So she comes in, and this lady comes up. Okay, good. So this lady answered some questions, and then she disappeared. I'm like, where did she go? And then next thing I know, the dude from last night, he walked up to us. And suddenly became very obvious to me that he's my salesman, whether I like it or not. So we get to where, you know, pick out what we need. And we go, and the people in front of us are having difficulty with their payments or whatever. They were trying to get something working out. And one of the computers was broken, right? As God would have it. Two computers, one was off, one was shut down. The one was backed up with people trying to, I don't know, straighten something out. And here I stood, this dude and my wife. Somehow, in the course of our conversation, we talked about we have, you know, a wedding coming up this summer for our daughter. And he said, oh, great. He said, I had a customer come in a few months ago and tell me my daughter was recently married. I said, tell you your daughter? He said, yeah, we're estranged. And this man, I won't go into all the detail, he went for the next 20 minutes telling me his life story. And I would say the Holy Spirit whispered this in my heart, but I think I'd have to be pretty obtuse and stupid not to just recognize this on my own, too. This man was hurting inside. And that's why I felt the Holy Spirit said the reason why this man is kind of toxic is because of the hurt that he has inside. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, Eric, why are you here? You here to do a job? Here to get your stupid washer? Stupid washer, not going to matter in 20 years anyway. Or do you see the eternal value of one soul? So we began to take an interest in this man and listen to him. And suddenly he said, I got to tell you something. He said, this, I probably shouldn't tell you this. This is going to sound really weird. But he said, I saw an angel one time. And I said, oh, brother, I said, you're telling that to the right person. I said, I could tell you things that really would make you think I'm, you know, have a tinfoil hat. I've seen a lot of weird things. So I shared with this man that bottom line, you know, how he needs to draw close to Jesus and to surrender himself to the Lord. And he was receptive. And we ended up checking out. We, you know, paid for the washer, and we started to leave, and he just followed us. So we turned around and talked again for another 5 or 10 minutes. And he was just, he's like, I don't know why I poured my life out to you like this. And he's like, I normally don't do this to customers. And so Julie said, well, my husband and I are pastors. He goes, oh, you're pastors. I said, yeah. And I said, so with that, I said, how about I pray for you? And when I said that, he didn't respond. He just kind of, he was just talking. And I said, I put my hand, I said, how about I pray for you? He goes, yeah, sure. So I laid my hand on this man, and Julie, we began to pray for him, the power of God to touch him and to reveal himself and to heal the hurts in his heart. And I told him that. I said, you know, while you were talking to me, I just saw that you were carrying a heavy burden of hurt inside. And the Lord wants to unload that. And the Lord wants to heal you, man. And so I just began to pray. And this crusty, mean man, we were done praying, his eyes were just welled up with tears. And he goes, wow, that's something. And so we, you know, shook hands with them, and he like two or three times said, would you guys please come back and see me again? I said, sure, absolutely. And as I left, it just hit me that, you know, it's really easy to forget why we are here on this planet. So easy to get caught up in the busyness of our life, easy with our problems, easy, and we could just blow our situation so big, and they look so mountainous, and we forget that to stop for the one and to minister to the people that are hurting. I want to tell you, whenever you start to get a bad spirit or a critical spirit or a negative spirit, I believe we need to go back to what is the will of God? Why am I on this planet? If you're struggling with sin, you need to say, what is eternity? Is it going to be heaven or hell? Am I going to go for Jesus or not? We need to remember what the important things are and what God has called us to do. And if we will do that, I believe that is absolutely critical in keeping a right spirit, because this is what Jesus did with Judas. Judas, you'll always have the poor, but I'm only here for a short while. Let this woman worship with all of her heart. This is what matters. This is what's important. We're called to remember the will of God. And if we will ask God for his help, repent of our sin, repent of our attitudes, if we will pray in the Holy Spirit, and we will keep in mind what God's will is, I guarantee you, we are going to be able to overcome challenges. We're not going to fall into pits. We'll be able to keep a right spirit. We'll be able to keep relating to each other correctly and relating to God correctly and relating to the body of Christ correctly. And it's things will be cut and healed before we even get to an explosion. It's the way of the Lord. Create in me, God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Would you stand and lift your hands with me right now? Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you, God. I thank you, Father.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.